Hi, I'm Quentin D'Souza, and you're listening to Getting Started with Education REI. Create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing. Make sure to check out educationrei.ca. In this episode, this member is looking to leverage their primary residence in order to enter the real estate investing market. When looking for financing, we explore why you should approach it as building a portfolio and not just one property. Have a listen.
So what I wanted to start off with is get an understanding of where you are right now in your real estate investing and then any questions that you have.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, like I said, when the invite came through, I think it's pleasantly surprised, honestly, of the outreach. And also, I'm in the CRM realm, in digital marketing. So I just wanted to comment that that your deployments and your follow up and things like that are definitely top notch. So good job on that.
Oh, cool.
My background, I guess, in real estate is, I guess, the story of where I'm at. So my wife and I, we live just north of Uxbridge in a small kind of hamlet called Sanford. We own our house free and clear. So obviously that's a big plus. And I guess over the last kind of year or two, just looking to, obviously I'm on the younger scale. So I'm 33 years old. My wife's 32. We have decent income. And like I said, we own our house free and clear. So I thought, I guess over the last year or two, I've been looking to leverage that. Obviously, I think it presents a good opportunity into the real estate realm and to use the house as leverage to obviously bigger and better things. So that's kind of where we're at. Probably over the last 2 to 3 months, I guess, heavily, I've kind of delved into little things here and there and done some reading. I've almost finished your book, obviously, that I got from signing up and I've read some other books, but I guess from a financial standpoint, I've obviously gotten to the process where I've looked at a HELOC. So I've been approved for a HELOC and the funds have been there. I think up to $360,000 on this current house. And then we've been approved for a mortgage of up to $700,000. So that's kind of where we sit financially in the whole scheme of things. And then I guess from a plan standpoint, I mean, what we're kind of looking to do anyways is to kind of get into the investment property realm and just doing some research. Obviously it's, I think you're in the Durham region too, right? So it's, yep. It's difficult, obviously, I think just given the volatility of the markets and everything, I think. So, just from the research that I've been doing, I've kind of settled on the Peterborough area, and just looking at that. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm kind of at that point where I've got a bit of knowledge, but I probably could still need a bit more, and then just kind of a direction. So I think that the plan is to kind of get in and do the long-term strategy and maybe, at least get one property and then see. I'm not going to, I'd like to think I have bigger goals, but I also want to see if, do I like being a landlord? Do I like, and that's something that you need to kind of deal with. So before I go, and look to do, multiple properties and all that kind of stuff, I just like to see if it's for me, if I enjoy it, if it makes sense, right? Those types of things.
Yeah. And there's lots of ways to do it too. So don't feel like even if you start to do it and you don't like the way it's going, that's the way you have to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? Like some people like to invest passively in other people's projects and get, yeah, like they don't get the same returns that they would have got, but they get like usually returns between 20 and 30% or more. And annually that's better than you're going to do on, yeah, an investment anyway. So yeah. You got to decide for yourself what that's going to look like. But what I would suggest you do, first of all, who did you get approved the $700K from? Which lender?
So that was just a pre-approval with a broker.
A broker.
Sorry. Yes. So the HELOC was approved through Scotiabank.
All right. So a couple of different things that I'm going to, first of all, I've got no connections with anybody and I probably offend everybody. So don't feel like I'm going to be easy on like a mortgage broker or whoever. I just want like the best for the people that I talk to.
Yeah.
What I would suggest you do, if you have a relationship with Scotiabank, there is a mobile mortgage specialist that focuses on investment property that works with Scotiabank, and okay. I'll connect you with her.
Okay.
I'll send you, I'll remember to, I'm making a note here to send her contact information. She'll be able to help you and structure it from a way that you may be actually, by using the HELOC that you already have, you may be able to get up to 5 properties based on your income and what you're doing rather than just one. And it's okay to just get one and stop, but the thing you want to think about is how can I plan out more if I wanted to have more and not get stuck? Because what often will happen is if a mortgage broker or even a lender from a bank doesn't take the perspective of a portfolio, they're only mm-hmm. looking at your next deal. And that's not how you want to do financing. How you want to do financing is you want to look at how can I get to whatever my goal is. Today, your goal is one property. Tomorrow, your goal could be 5 properties. But you don't want to be put in a product that gets you stuck so that you can't move forward for 2 years or 3 years. Yeah. And how that happens is that you get put into like a fixed mortgage product. So like a 5-year fixed or a 3-year fixed, and that can be problematic because it sounds great because you get a lower rate, but then mm-hmm. you can't refinance. You can't change the way that your financing is structured so that it looks better so that you can, purchase the second property or the third property. So while we may be thinking about the $700K that you have been approved for, what you should also be doing is talking to a couple of other people just to see what they have to say and what that looks like to you. I can point out a couple. What I would suggest, because you already have a broker, stick with the broker, but let me introduce you to a couple of people at different financial institutions like CIBC and Scotia that may be able to help you in a different way.
Okay.
And that should at least give you some better options. The other thing is that like location wise, sounds like you're good with the location. You've done the due diligence. If you've gone through some of the your first 3 properties in real estate, that course, that's a good fundamentals to kind of help you decide on the location in the area. Also on how to run the numbers and do a property analyzer. Yeah. It's all in there. So doing that, you should have been able to come up with a strategy. So what strategy are you thinking about using for your properties? So are you going to do like a single family home rental? Are you going to do a duplex? Or are you going to buy something? Are you going to fix it, refinance it and rent it like a BRRRR strategy?
Yeah. So that's one of the questions that I actually wrote down to kind of ask you. So I think in a long term, I think obviously I like right now my the strategy is long term, so it's buy and hold. I am under the idea that I would like to either like buy a single family home and convert it into a duplex, or just buy a turnkey duplex and go that route. But I'm not torn on that. I guess one of the that I'm looking to do is what should be realistic, just with the volatility in the market, what should be realistic of, a BRRRR and being able to refinance in a year or 2 years time to get any type of money in, as opposed to the turnkey, right?
Right. So the key that you want to ensure is that you're cash flow positive on your investment. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what the market is going to do 5 years from now or next year or 6 months from now. It doesn't matter. If you have a long-term point of view, when did you get your house?
This house, it's been a work in progress. So I guess we've been in it for 4.5 years now.
Okay. When you bought it to what it's now, what is it? How much has it improved in value?
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Okay. So don't worry about, if you have a long-term point of view, don't worry about that. Don't worry about volatility. Don't worry about, whether you like it was $50,000 more, mm-hmm. 6 months from now, don't do that. It's not worth it. think about buying a property that cash flows, that you can hold for a long period of time, that that's going to be easy for you to manage as an asset, or hire a property manager in the area to manage it for you. Right. What you want to do is make sure that the cash flow covers the cost of a property manager, maintenance, repairs, vacancy, all of that's considered. And that's what you look at your property analyzer for. You yeah. can buy duplexes in Peterborough that cash flow positive as a turnkey. It is possible to do. I don't know if you've connected with any realtors out there that have that. I can connect you if you want some members who are realtors in the area. So I can do that. What I would suggest is you just run the numbers, make sure that you're cash flow positive, and that you're able to hold on to that asset for a longer period of time. If you can do that, that's what you're really want to focus on, not whether, you know, the gyrations of the right. market or this and that. It's just not worth it. Like,
yeah,
if I, every time I talk to people and I ask them, what did you buy the house for?
Yeah.
What is it worth now? And, you know, and, you know, like I was buying single family houses in Oshawa, like, or in Whitby, like years ago, 10 years ago for like 250K.
Yeah.
Right.
Crazy.
12 years ago for 250K.
Yeah.
So I'm not like if you have a longer term point of view, you know, you can often ignore a lot of the gyrations of the market. If you're interested in looking at like how that looks, go back into the vault. I do a lot of updates on like in the monthly meetings around, you know, what's happening in the market, like, you know, and then I'll do some historical analysis too. So I'll show people what it looked like over 10 years. I'll go through different things. So each of the meetings back to 2013 are all recorded and available.
Right.
There. Go back and take a look. If you want to really knock your socks off, go back to 2013 and listen to a meeting and see what the numbers we're talking about.
Yeah. I know. Right? Well, it's crazy even when you talk, you know, as little as, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, right? 2 years ago even.
Yeah. So just don't worry about that. Like focus on what you're like focus on your strategy, get into the market is what you want to focus on. You know, you have equity. It sounds like you have a lot of equity, which is great that you have access to. Utilize the equity the best possible way. Don't think about the next property. Think about how I can build a portfolio of, let's say, 3 properties or 4 properties.
Right.
Even if you just go with one, that's fine. Right. Or even if you just go with one and wait for like a year, that's fine. But don't put yourself in a position where you're stuck because it's the lowest rate. And, you know, it's a 5-year term and that's all they're willing to give you. Right.
Right. So okay.
Build that out.
Okay.
Any other questions that I can kind of get you on while you got me here?
I mean, it's just one that I'm kind of stuck. So I guess the goal is to use the HELOC as the down payment. And then what would be your advice? I mean, is it just building in the minimum payments into the monthly calculators? And then would I look to, you know, just pay back the principal, you know, personally? Is that how you would do it?
What you would look at is positioning yourself so that there's some, that's why I like to add value to things, because if I can buy something that I can add value to,
yeah.
Whether right now I'm doing the same thing I used to do in 1-4 unit properties on apartment buildings. So I'm buying 30, 40 unit apartment buildings, doing the same strategy, but it's just bigger and the numbers are 1 or 2 more zeros on them.
Yeah.
Right. So like, but the idea is the same. You're buying something that has some innate value. I'm adding value either by turning over tenants, renovating units, fixing capital expenses. In your case, you're adding legal basement suites, yeah. adding, you know, 2 rents as opposed to only having 1 rent, maximizing, improving the property, renovating it, getting higher rents, you know, all of those things. Once you do that, and in year 2, year 3, year 5, whatever that looks like for you, you go back and refinance the property, you refinance the rental property, use the money that you get from the refinance to pay back your initial investment. Make sure that you can float the line of credit using the cash flow from the rental property, included in your number. If you're not comfortable with anything, as long as you're making like $100, you know, from what your calculations are, it's fine, because that will change over time. It's not like if you've concluded all the, you know, vacancy repairs, maintenance, all of those things, property management in your numbers, you know, and the first one is $100 a month, fine, right? Get into the market, get it done.
Right.
See what it's like the first year, see how your numbers shake out, then refinance the property, use it to pay back your line of credit. You know, if you've got some value increase, great. At the very least, you get mortgage pay down. When you put your new mortgage on, let's say you get a new mortgage. One of the things that people don't often tell you is you can get a new mortgage on your rental property with a HELOC. So that HELOC that you got, get a HELOC on the new property so that as you pay down the mortgage, you get access to the line of credit.
Capital,
right? And so you can get more capital if required. The thing is, what you're doing now is quite interesting. You're doing something called the Smith Maneuver, which is basically you're taking your principal residence that has non-deductible debt and now making it deductible, because any of the interest that you pay on your HELOC is deductible. When you have interest on your principal residence in Canada, typically it's non-deductible debt. You can't deduct it against your income. Right. But because what you're doing is you have a line of credit, you're using that line of credit to invest in something, that interest is deductible now. So it can actually lower your the taxes that you pay personally, depending on how it's structured. You mean you have to talk to an accountant around that, but it's you know, you've already done it. Right.
So it's something to keep in the back of my mind. Still keep, you know, work the numbers on the monthly basis for the cash flow, but something to keep the, maybe that's, you can take the tax deductible on my personal stuff and maybe apply that to the principal of the HELOC if I choose to do that too, right?
Yeah. So take, when you go into the vault, there's a quick results, go to the Smith Maneuver and watch the video on the Smith Maneuver. Okay. That's a good one to go into. Also, using a property analyzer in the quick results area is another good one to go through. Okay, in the vault. So take a look at that. Okay. The other thing I would say is you haven't purchased the property yet. So your first three rental properties is a good place to kind of get an overview, how to hire a property manager. There's a short video on that, working with an agent, mortgage professional, all of that's in there. And then the next piece for you would be, and it depends on what you want to do, whether you manage it yourself or not, watch the 5-hour course on property management key policies and procedures. Okay. It goes through all the nuts and bolts that you need in order to do this without getting into trouble in Ontario, where you have to be on top of your game.
Right.
Because it can take you months and months to go through the landlord tenant board if something happens. So
you I was looking at the book you did, the book you did send, and it's got a couple key things that you just, it's mindful. I just picked it up to page 46 or whatever and just started reading it, and it's like, yeah, that's some good tips in there. So any changes in a COVID that you know come to the top of your head that you need to be aware of?
Well, I mean, there's a whole course around COVID and rental properties, so you can watch the videos and stuff on that. But a couple of things is that it's the landlord-tenant board is still a mess. I don't care what they say. It's taking a long time for anybody to get anything done. They keep saying they're hiring more people. It's all like smoke and mirrors as far as I'm concerned. Everything is, you know, we're doing video hearings. I had a video hearing yesterday and there was no hearing. Nobody, only myself and my paralegal knew about it. The tenant didn't know about it and their paralegal didn't know about it. And there was no, so I mean, like if, and this is what we have as a government body.
Yeah.
So I think that one of the things you want to consider is that if you're going through this process and you have an issue with a tenant, see if you can work it out with them or, you know, cash for keys to end the tenancy. Yeah. And because it just takes forever. Like this is, it's so ridiculous. So just be careful. And that's COVID related, but that was before as well. It took, you know, 3 months. Now it's taking up to a year.
Right.
I mean, this hearing was from something that I brought up in December 2020, that I had a hearing at the beginning of July. And then it got adjourned to the beginning of August. And then nobody showed up except for me and my paralegal.
Crazy.
Anyway, so keep that in mind. Go through the COVID-19 for rental property owners in there. That'll cover off a lot of the questions that you have, including what clauses you can add to your purchases if you really need to. Other than that, I mean, we have two Q&A calls this month, so make sure that you're on them. Even if you're just getting started, you can listen to the experienced one and hop in and just listen to other people.
Yeah.
And then come in and ask any questions that you have. It's a perfect opportunity. You know, you have some action items right now to go back and work on. So start with talking to the banks directly, and then see what you can come up with from a financing perspective, what that might look like. And remember what I said, not the next property, but like a portfolio approach. Just say something like, I'd like to buy 3 properties in the future and see what they say, rather than.
That's directly to the bank that you guys have contacts with. Okay.
Yeah. Mobile mortgage specialists. So they work for the bank directly and they work with investors. Right. I'm certainly happy to connect you with them and you can talk to them and if it works out, great. There's no connection for me on any of that stuff.
Okay.
I just want to see you get started and hopefully we'll see you at a live event in September.
Yeah. I have one last question. Timing of it. I mean, just, you know, we're going into fall and everything like that. And getting tenants in, like, it, let's say, like, just you're projecting to a timeline of getting tenants in the winter, January, February, like, is that something to be concerned about that you should try and avoid if possible? Or
you can find tenants any time of year.
Yeah.
It slows down in December and January because who wants to move in December and January and February too, right? It just slows down, but you can find tenants any time of year. Okay. Like it's there's people moving and coming in for different reasons at different times, right? You I found that the tenants who move at Christmas time are a little on the weirder side and, you know, not often like the greatest, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I can't find anybody.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You got to remember, we have like rent control in Ontario, and what the byproduct of that is a lack of supply everywhere. There is a lack of supply across Ontario, and it's not going to never going to go away because we have rent control. It's just not going to happen. So, like, I would not worry about being able to place a tenant because there's a huge lack of supply everywhere. Like, I don't know of a. Like in the US, you can see vacancy rates at 10%. There's nothing even close to that anywhere in Ontario, it seems, right? Probably like in the smaller towns, like real smaller towns, like, you know, I'm sure up north and different places, you'll see vacancy rates that are much higher. But like the places that you're looking at, Peterborough, GTA, Durham Region, Northumberland, you know, Kingston, you know, Waterloo, Kitchener, like all of these places, right? The bigger centers, secondary centers, I would say, the vacancy is like sub 2%, and it's never going to change. There's no way, like unless they make some drastic changes to policy, which is not really great from a political point of view for any premier or government. I don't think that it's ever going to change.
On the horizon. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't believe so. But that's just my opinion too.
It seems pretty reasonable just with everything that you read and other people you talk to in the, you know, whether it's in the housing industry or the mortgage industry or the policy industry, government, whatever. So, okay. Well, like I said, that definitely have some action items and I appreciate your time. Definitely. And I'll definitely jump on those calls later this month and hopefully keep you updated as I go.
I look forward to it. I'll remember your name for sure.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Have a good one. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with our member. I hope you got some valuable information out of it. If you would like to create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing, make sure to check out educationrei.ca. Until next time, I'm Quinton D'Souza. Get out there and take action. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for information purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to educationrei.ca.